Please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Well, we're looking at this mini-parable of the Lord this evening, and my title is Hiding the Light. Hiding the Light. And it's all about the light, all about knowledge, all about the spiritual knowledge that we have. And each one of us has a certain degree. Some have maybe a little bit more than others, but none of us really can say, I don't have any. I have no idea about God. I have no idea that there is a God. Really, none of us can say such words. All of us have been given some idea that there is a God, some knowledge about Him. But the point of this message is, friends, what are we doing with that knowledge? That's what this parable is about. What do we do with the light that we are given? Are we using it to come to know the Lord? Are we making use of it, improving it, and gaining benefit for it to come to know the Savior and to be found in a right relationship with God, to come back to God? That's why God gives us this knowledge, so that we may use it for our benefit and to come to know Him again. Or are we just leaving it to one side and saying, well, I'll look to it at another time. It's not so important now. What are we doing, friends, with this knowledge? It's so important what we do with it, because our eternity is at stake. What we do with this knowledge determines our eternal state. To receive it, to welcome it into our hearts, to take it seriously, the gospel message, well, that means, well, we will come to know Christ and we will go to heaven to be with Him forever. But to reject it is to be forever cast away, doomed, because we refuse the only way of salvation. Well, here in this short parable, the Lord paints a very unusual picture. And he talks about a man, he says no man actually will do this. When he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. So in those times, of course, there was no electricity, and they had to use lamps. Here we have the word candle, but actually it's a lamp which is a mine. No man, when he has lighted a lamp, then covers it with a vessel, covers it with a kind of bowl to keep the light from shining, or puts it under a bed. Who would do that? Who would light a lamp and then put it under a bed? So unusual, so absurd, it's ridiculous. No one would do that. The normal thing to do is to put it on a candlestick or on a lampstand, so that you can see what you're doing, and you can see the state of the room, what it's like, and people who come to visit you can see you, and can see the room, and so on, and see their way about the room. The light is so precious, the light is so necessary to see things. No man in their right mind is going to cover the light, and yet this is what the Lord is saying. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a bowl, or puts it under a bed. It's an utterly foolish thing to do. It's such an unusual thing to do. It's such a, if you don't mind me saying, a stupid thing to do. What's the point of lighting a candle, lighting a lamp, and then putting it under a bed? You want to have it in a place where we can give out the light to the whole room. But dear friends, we're like that. We may be like that. We may be acting also just as foolishly. God has given us light. God has given us a spiritual knowledge. God has given us an idea of what it is to come to Him, make known to us the way that we can come to Him. Instead of using this knowledge for our benefit and for our gain, to seek Him, to find Him, we hide it. We say we don't want anything to do with it. Here is a way for me to obtain pardon from God. Pardon for all my sins. Cleansing from all my sins. Here is the way for me to find a new life, to begin a new life. Here is a way for me, a guilty sinner. How can I be accepted with God? Here is the information in the gospel given to me. How can I find it? How I can be right and come to know peace with God? These are the light that's given to us in the scriptures and in the gospel. But instead of making use of these things, we cover it up. We hide it. We say, I don't want anything to do with it. Or I'll leave it to another day. I'll put it away. What a foolish thing it is to do, isn't it, friends? To think like that. And yet many are doing just that. Here the Lord says, no man will do that. No man is going to hide the light under a bed or under a bowl. But today we see so many people are doing just that with spiritual knowledge. It's so commonplace. They're hiding away that which is so useful and beneficial and helpful to them. Well, what kind of light is given to us? Well, we are given the light. God has given us the knowledge of Himself. Every one of us, in some degree or other, we have that awareness. Even young children have some awareness that there is a God. Unless it's been drummed out of you. There are some countries where atheism is taught to the children from a very young age. Right in kindergarten, they're taught there's no God. And that innate sense that there is a maker, there is somebody higher, there is somebody greater, is taken away from them. But initially, we are all given that inner sense that there is somebody greater than ourselves. Somebody to whom we are accountable. Somebody to whom we must stand, before whom we must stand at the end. We have that feeling, isn't it, that death is not the end. That there is something after death. Something that troubles us, that bothers us. But we have that niggling feeling, especially if we go to maybe to a funeral and we see somebody who has passed away and we are brought to think about death, and we are given here a time. We feel as we must use our time to seek and to find Him. But what do we do with that inner sense? We hide it. We suppress those impulses. Those impulses which are there to help us and to awaken us to seek God. Well, we suppress them, we push them away from us, and we say, I'm not going to listen to that. And other people may tell us, don't listen to your conscience, don't listen to those things. You can forget about them, they're nothing to worry about, but they're God-given. We should worry about it, we should think about it, we should be moved by them. Then there's the light of conscience, friends, that inner moral compass that we have, that when we do something right and good, it says, pats you on the back, and it says, well done. But you do something bad, you do something which is wrong, and it will say, it will condemn you. It will say, well, what you did was not right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have written that, whatever it is. You shouldn't have acted in that way. It's not perfect, the conscience. It's partially broken, affected by the fall, but it still functions within each one of us. And it tells us when we are guilty, when we have done wrong, that we are guilty. And we can't get rid of that sense of guilt. That sense of guilt remains with us. It's only when we come to Christ that we can obtain cleansing and forgiveness. Conscience, friends, it's like a warning light to us, telling us that there is something seriously wrong and we need to pay attention to it. It's a light shining in us. Not so long ago, the warning light on my car came up. The coolant light came up. And for a while, I didn't pay any attention to it. I checked it eventually and realized that the coolant was leaking out from the car and the coolant area. And I left it for a little bit longer. But very soon, I had to get it seen to. Because if I'd ignored that coolant light forever, as it were, then the car would just overheat and would be unusable. It wouldn't operate. It wouldn't function anymore. And those warning lights are there to help us, to help the car make sure you don't get into such a state. And it's the same like that even with conscience. It's a warning light to us. Or think about a person who may have a serious sickness and a serious disease. Well, usually with a serious disease, there are symptoms which come across. Symptoms which are visible to the doctor, and the doctor will be looking for those things. To cover those symptoms, to pretend that they are not there, well, that's foolish, isn't it? Because they're there, that could prove fatal for the person. We must do something about it. We must go to have it checked out with a doctor or a specialist. And it's the same with conscience. Conscience is there, though it makes us feel bad, and it makes us feel so uncomfortable and guilty, it's a good thing. Because then it makes us seek after a Savior and seek a way to be have a clear conscience. And it's our friend, dear friends, not our enemy. But what do people do with conscience and these feelings of guilt? Once again, it's suppressed. Or it's pacified in some other way. We try and fill up our time with other things or other ideologies which don't really clear our conscience, but just suppress it and pacify it for a moment or two. And then every now and again it jumps up to remind us of our guilt. But light of conscience, but especially here in this parable, is the light of the gospel. This is the spiritual knowledge that the Lord gives to us. How I can come into a right relationship with God, as we've said. How I may have my sins pardoned and this guilty conscience cleansed. How I may be made His child. Such precious things, friends. Such amazing things that are revealed to us by the Lord and in this gospel message. Things that you will not find in the world. Things you cannot buy on the supermarket. Things you cannot learn in the university are revealed to us here in the gospel. And they're so valuable for us. The knowledge of His love. That God is love. And that His love is amazing. God is in Christ, we may have a helper and a friend for life. In this gospel, friends, it tells us how I may be delivered and saved and rescued from eternal hell and the darkness of eternal hell. And that's so important, isn't it? What can be more important that I'm rescued from my sins and from hell and that I can have a place in heaven? Oh, friends, and know the joys of heaven. This is what is so valuable for us. We may have knowledge about other things in this life. We may have knowledge about astronomy. Well, I think there's something unusual happened the last couple of days. I think there was some alignment with the planets, 3 or 4 planets. And if you were up early in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, you might have caught with the naked eye. They said you can catch the alignment of Mars and Saturn and Jupiter, I think it was. And that's wonderful if you caught it, if you knew. If you missed it, it's not the end of the world for you. You can still get on with life. It's not going to make much difference to you not having that sight, that knowledge. But this knowledge you need. This is valuable, the gospel. You can't do without it, friends. You can't get to glory without it, without the knowledge of the Savior. You may have knowledge of mathematics or English grammar or other things. Well, that's good, but it's not necessary for life. It's not necessary for spiritual well-being. We need gospel light. We need what these things, how I may obtain. That salvation is full and free. Free to those who receive it in Christ. That is obtained by another. That Jesus Christ came and died on the cross in the place of all those who will trust in Him. And all I need to do is to look to the cross and trust in Him who died on the cross. And I am saved. That's it. And I am pardoned. And I am received by Him. I have to receive Christ, and then He will receive me. I have to receive what He has done on the cross on my behalf and say, Lord, I believe that what Christ did on the cross, He did for me. He was there bearing away my sins. Lord, receive me. I believe. That's it, friends. That's what the message is for us. And we need that. We need this life. But so many say, maybe I hope it's none of us here. I don't want the light. I don't want that knowledge. And we cover it. I don't want to know about it. Thank you very much. I'm okay. I'm fine, thank you. You're not really. But you need these things where we conceal it. Maybe we know about these things in the back of our mind, or we've heard it in Sunday school. A friend has told us about it, but we just lock it away in some corner of our mind because we want a thing out of sight, out of mind. That's better. I don't want these things to trouble me. I don't want these things to disturb my life. I don't want to be made uncomfortable by these things that I have to deal with a holy God. No, I don't want to know about these things. I'm happy with my life as it is. But eternity is at stake. Your eternal state is determined by what you do with this knowledge. How foolish, how absurd it is to hide away this knowledge, to put it away and not think about it and not make use of it, friends, when we're in such great need. It's not that we have sufficient to give to God and He will be pleased with it. We have nothing to offer to Him which is acceptable. We're in great need. We need help. Here is a man. May I give you an example, an illustration? Imagine there's a man and he's in great debt. He owes thousands to the bank. He's fallen behind in his mortgage repayments. His house is going to be repossessed. He owes so much money. The debt collectors are on their way around to take from him everything that he has. Everything of value is going to be taken away from him. He's on the verge of losing everything. And a kind man, a wealthy man, maybe hears about his plight, hears what's happening to him, and feels for him, feels pity for him. And he sends him a check which covers all his debts, and even gives him even more to live on for the rest of his life, say. Such a great amount is given to him. And what does he do with that check when he receives it in the post? He puts it away in the drawer. He puts it away and says, I'm not going to make use of it. Take it to the bank, man. Take it to the bank. Cash it. Draw from it. Use it. No, I'm going to put it away in the drawer. Just leave it there. But this is the means of your rescue. This is the means of your salvation, as it were, in terms of his physical troubles. But instead, he just puts it away. How foolish. How absurd it is when people do that. But this is what people are like spiritually. So much is offered to them, but they put it away. But the light, notice, friends, the light is not entirely put out. It still flickers, though it's under the bed or under a bowl, it's still flickering. There's still some light there. And we can never really fully extinguish the light that's given to us. It's always going to be in the background to some degree. But why do we hide the light? Why do we do that? The light's so useful to us. It helps us to see things, see the room. Is it clean? Is it dirty? Is it dusty? Does it need rearranging? All these things. The light helps us to see. You can't see things in the dark. And the Bible tells us why people hide the light. John 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The reason why people don't like this kind of light, the spiritual knowledge, is because they love sin. They love darkness. They don't want to come to a holy way of living. People are attached to their sin. They have an affection for their sinful things. They know it's wrong. They know it's not right to live like that. But I don't want to give it up, they say. I don't want to give up my lifestyle. I'm happy to go on as I am. Gospel life shows me my true state. It shows me that God is holy and I am a sinner. And I don't like that. And not only do I do sinful things, I am a sinner. That's my nature. I am sinful. But let's move, friends, quickly to verse 17. And we see here, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. What's this mean? What's the Lord saying? Well, friends, there is a day coming when everything will come to light. Everything will be in the open. The truth, the real thing, the truth will be made manifest for everyone to see. Oh, look at our world today. So much is hidden, isn't it? So much is concealed. So much is screened. There's so much blanketing and cloaking of things from all areas and avenues of life. You look even in our governments, so much happening in every government of the world. There's hiding going on. They're concealing things. So much going on behind closed doors. We don't know the half probably what's really happening in the governments of the land. We look. Even at on a worldwide scale, there's a lot of hiding going on a worldwide scale. People are hiding this knowledge about God from children in the schools. The education system are saying there is no God. They're teaching atheism. There is no God. There is no God is not the creator of the world. They're hiding the fact that God is not the creator. They're hiding the existence of God from people. This is what's happening. But a day is coming when the truth will come out. The truth will be made manifest. Oh, there is a God. There is a creator. There is a maker. There is a redeemer. There is only one redeemer, Jesus Christ. And people will realize at that time. The atheists will then realize how wrong I was. How wrong I was to believe that there is no God. And it becomes so clear in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Then it will be seen, friends, that the gospel is true. That the gospel is true. Then what will those people do who have hidden the light, that light which they had? Then they will realize, oh, I hid it away, I concealed it, I put it away from me. But what a fool I was, because it's now proved to be true, it's proved to be the real thing. And I should have paid more attention to it. Everything will be revealed. The truth will come to light in that last day. And everything which is of error, every false teaching, every false religion will be exposed for what it is. The truth will be made manifest. What a day that will be. Oh, what a terrible world we live in, friends. Because there's so much that is hidden away and kept from us. But in that day, the truth will come out. But also, we have to say our secret sins will be brought out. We ourselves keep things away. We ourselves hide things, like the gospel. We hide it away from us. And we mistreat this life. We do it secretly. Maybe others don't really know some of the things that we're doing. But on that day, all our secret sins will also be brought out into the open. And how we have handled this word of God. Did we respond to it? Did we receive it? Then it will be made manifest. This person received the Lord. This person responded to the gospel. Oh, this person, he hid it. He was ashamed of it. He was embarrassed about it. He didn't want to be called a Christian. He didn't want to take Christ as his Savior. It will all come out into the open. What a thing that will be, friends, a day. And then verse 18, the Lord goes on to say, take heed how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed how you hear the gospel, and what you will do with it. Be careful, friends. Be a careful listener. Be a one who takes the word seriously. Be a one who takes the gospel as from God, not from man. Take it from his hands, his voice. Don't be a listener only, one who just listens but doesn't act on these things or forgets it. As soon as one goes out the door here, one has forgotten it, and one is so engrossed in one's own life and the things of this world, forgotten it. Don't treat the gospel lightly. Treat it, friends, as something really important. Something so valuable. Don't have I can take it or leave it attitude. That won't do, friends. When you hear the gospel, take heed, the Lord says, how you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. A phrase the Lord repeated often. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How am I hearing? How am I listening to what the Lord God is saying to me? Oh, it's I don't need to pay attention to that. Well, that won't help me. Oh, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, I don't understand, but teach me. Show me clearly. I'm willing to hear. Lord, I want to know thy way. Oh, the Lord will, you've come with that sort of attitude, friends. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will lead you on to himself. You have to be open-minded. If you come with a closed mind, well, that won't be beneficial for you. You must come with an open mind to try and understand better. Come humbly, praying to God for light on the things that you hear. If I rightly receive the light I now have, you have some light. And if you treat it well and you take it seriously and you want to know more and you want to apply it to your life, well, the Lord will give you more. That's what this verse is saying. Whosoever hath light and knowledge, to him shall be given. More will be given to you as you use that which you have in a good way. More knowledge about the way of salvation, more understanding about this world, more insights into the Lord and what he is like and how you walk with him. Things that he hides from the proud, he will make known to you. Insignificant as we are, he will make known to such a person who humbly comes before him and prays, Lord, teach me thy way. Show me thy salvation. Bring me, O Lord, to thyself and to Christ. Help me to see the meaning of the cross. If we haven't understood these things, you can pray, friends, like this. But look at the second part of this verse. And with this, I come to a close. It's a warning, friends, and there must be warning as well as an offers of grace. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. If I hide this gospel light under a bed, if I put it away from me, then all the benefit that I could have had from that light will be taken from me. That light will still be there to a certain degree, but it will have no effect upon me. It will not move me. Now maybe I'm moved by it. Now maybe I'm touched by it. Now maybe my conscience is pricked and I feel I must do something about it. But if I don't follow up, then that light, that effect is gradually removed from me. And I can no longer, over time, if I leave it longer and longer, soon will be something I can take or leave. I know it's there, but my heart will become hardened towards these things. I will lose interest in these things. I will lose that feeling which I once had. Oh yes, I want to know more. That will disappear. Because those are even God-given things. And if we don't respond even to those movements of the Spirit in us, they're removed from us, friends. It's a warning to us, and we're left in the dark. Well, how are you listening, friends, to this gospel? What are you doing with this gospel message? Again, I ask you the question. Listen well. Take to heart these things. Think on these things and pray and seek the Lord and believe these things, friends, because this is God's word and He can never lie. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners, to save all those who will trust in Him. He said these amazing words, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's what Christ has come to do. Believe in Him. Turn from your sins. Repent. Trust in the Lord. Give yourself to Him. And hear His words. And He will bless you. And He will prove that His words are true in your own life. And you will know, without any shadow of a doubt, that the Lord, He is God. And there is no one like Him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us so much light that we may come to Thee and find Thee. Oh Lord, help us each one to make use of that light, and Lord, that we may be stirred by Thy Spirit to seek Thee and find Thee, and to come to know pardon and forgiveness and reconciliation with Thee through our Saviour. Bless us, O Lord, each one, and these words to our hearts and minds. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. We sing together our last hymn, number 417. O Lord, from whom there is naught concealed, 417.